It. I want to mention that on the back table and on the small table out in the hallway, there's some prayer cards. And we would really appreciate it if you take one, take it home, put it in your Bible, put it in your refrigerator. As the Lord leads you, lift up a prayer for us. Also, our email address is on there. If you write us an email and say, hey, I'm so-and-so from Grace Baptist Church, my wife, if you do Facebook, if you do social media, my wife has a closed prayer page there that she maintains, which she keeps most of our ministry updates on. She'll add you to that group. She does send out email prayer letters, but we don't update that quite as often as we do the social media. My wife, Patsy, is not able to be with me this morning. Her mother, who is 84 years old, had knee replacement surgery not very long ago, and she is there with her. Just helping her recover from that. So this morning, it's my pleasure to be with you. You will see my wife, though, in a few minutes, though. She's on it. We've got a video, and she's talking about children's ministry, and that'll be on. But let's begin today from God's Word. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 28, a very familiar passage for most of us. I want to share a few passages of scriptures with you today and what I believe, you know, is a biblical mandate for us. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. This is what we refer to as the Great Commission. These are some of Jesus' very last words to his disciples before he was taken up to heaven. And these words were not just intended for the original disciples that were standing there that day, but it is meant for us, because each one of us that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ are his disciples. Amen. And he has given us those commands. Let's read. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." So we see from this passage that all authority has been given to Jesus. And it's by Christ's authority, by Jesus' authority, that we are commanded to go and given the right to go and make disciples of the nations. Because without the authority of Christ, we could not do that. Amen. Another passage of scripture I want us to turn to this morning is Acts chapter 1. This also was some of Jesus' very last words to his disciples before he was taken back up to the Father, before he ascended back to the Father. And let's begin in verse 8. Well, actually, in verse 7, he said, "It's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." Each believer that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is given what Jesus called the Comforter. And that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. We are his ambassadors to the nations and to Brandon, Mississippi. Wherever you're at, you're expected to be his witness. And also, witness where you work and wherever the Lord leads you. And hopefully he'll lead you somewhere in the world outside of Brandon, Mississippi. Maybe missions somewhere else in the state, somewhere in the United States, somewhere internationally. Because there is really not much other purpose than the church but to be his witnesses. Let's turn to another passage of scripture, and I think this one very well illustrates the partnership that we have as Southern Baptist missionaries with you and your church as a Southern Baptist church. It's Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. And I'm going to interject something here in this verse 12, if you would allow me that liberty. In verse 12, chapter 10, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Might I add, there's no difference between a Russian and an American. There's not any difference between a Haitian and an African. There's not any difference between a Canadian and an Argentine. They live in different parts of the world. But here we continue in verse 12, the same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? You see, I believe this illustrates very clearly the importance that we have as our partnership with Southern Baptist Churches. Because without your support, your prayer support, your financial giving to Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, to missions, there is no way me and my wife could be there serving in Siberia and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and being active in evangelism and in church planting. It just couldn't happen. Just like the Apostle Paul, there were churches in Paul's ministry that supported him and allowed him to be free to preach the gospel. And we're so thankful for your partnership in the gospel. I want to share some in just a moment, but I want to emphasize this part. In verse 14, you know, how can they believe in the one they have not heard? That's the problem where we live in our part of Russia. There are people that have never heard the gospel. 70 years of Soviet Union, heavily persecuted Christians. The city in which we live currently at one time had 2,000 Baptists in it. Russian Baptists, 2,000, prior Soviet Union. After the end of the Soviet Union, all they could find was 8 that had survived. They worked them to death and sent them to prison camp and just killed them. Persecution was severe under Lenin and Stalin. But I'll share more about that in a moment. All right, just as Jeff shared, I was called to ministry in 1995 and then later in missions in 1997. And we were appointed IMB missionaries to Russia in 1999. This first photograph that's up on the slideshow is actually a picture of me and my wife. That we took that on the town square. That's not photoshopped. We had to hold our breath in order to get that photograph so it wouldn't seem like we were smoking, because at minus 30, you know, every breath here, you know, there's this fog that comes out. And that's a picture back behind my head of a statue of Lenin there, who killed Christians all throughout the Soviet Union and Russia. Let's go to the next slide. As I shared, you know, it was 20 years ago when we left, a little over 20 years ago. These were our children back then. That was our first prayer card. They were 12, 10, 6, and 2. And the next photograph is them today. Some of you might know them. Reagan lives out at the reservoir. That's his daughter. She's 4. And our son Brian in the middle. He has 3 grandsons. He's in North Georgia. He's a high school teacher and bivocational minister. And then our daughter Grace, she is serving in a part of the world. I can't tell you where, but she's in the Middle East. They're faithfully serving. She'll be coming back in a couple of months, finishing up her term of service. Then our son Caleb on the bottom right, he is, that photograph I think was taken in Uganda. He's been to Chad, Africa for a semester, lived in a hut that he built in 120 degree temperature with no electricity. Just sharing the gospel. And he got to share the gospel with a guy there in Russian. It was an African that had ended up going to Moscow and studied Russian, and 20 years later he meets this guy and he's able to share the gospel with him in Chad, Africa. Anyway, he's in William Carey, finishing up his last year in international business, and he wants to go on to get his master's in security, basically helping missionaries serve in dangerous parts of the world safely. Let's go to our next slide, and this is where I'm going to camp out for just a moment. This is a map of Russia. The far left is the small dot to the far left that's yellow is Moscow. We lived there for 8 years. Moscow is the home of 14 million people. We lived and ministered there. And then 12 years ago, the Lord called us out to go further out into Siberia to a place where we never had missionaries before. And we went out six time zones. The distance from Moscow, there's six time zones. You get on a commercial airliner, you fly 6 hours, you get off, and you're still in the same country. That's a 747 or 737. It's the same country. And it's huge. It's a huge area. That brown area that circled there is the size of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and a little bit of Florida. And that's my area of responsibility and my wife's. We share statistics. I want to talk about this for a second. This is an interesting fact. In the state of Mississippi, Mississippi has about 3 million people in population. Where I live has 2.5 million. How many, you'd like to take a guess, how many Southern Baptist churches are in the state of Mississippi? 2,000. You're right on top of it. About 2,400. 2,400 Southern Baptist churches. That's just Southern Baptist. That's not Baptist. That's not evangelical. That's just Southern Baptist. So there's a lot of churches in Mississippi. Out where we're at, we don't have any Southern Baptist churches. We do have Russian churches, Russian Baptist churches, but we don't have 11 of them. 11. Population's about the same as Mississippi, so you can see just about anywhere we go, anybody we talk to, they are lost. They don't know the Lord. The sad thing is between those two dots, we don't have any personnel. We don't have any IMB personnel. Pray to the Lord would call out more harvesters. When you think of us, pray for us and pray the Lord send more folks to Russia because it is needed. People do not have access there to the gospel like they do here in the United States. United States, people, there's a church everywhere, pretty much, or at least down in the South there is. And you can go to Walmart, you can buy a Bible. Not all of them carry them still, unfortunately, but most do. You can order a Bible online and have it in 2 days. In Russia, there's nowhere to buy a Bible. You know, there's no Christian bookstores. There's no Christian stores where you could go and buy it. They don't have God's Word for the most part. They can go to the large Orthodox church in the capital city and get a copy of the Bible, but it's pretty expensive. And these people have no way of getting in. They live remotely. You'll see some in Siberia. It's like you went back in time 150 years in Mississippi. Once you get outside the capital city and you go out to some of the remote villages, it's like you step back in time 150 years, except for two things: electricity lines, and there's a satellite dish that they're receiving the TV signals out of Moscow. And that's it. Other than that, they heat the home by wood and coal, and they don't have any running water in the house. They use outhouses outside and bring the water in. But I want to move on, but pray for the Lord would send out more workers, please. The next photograph, we were blessed to be able to start a church. The Lord started his church. We were blessed to be able to be part of it about 2.5 years ago, right at 3 years ago now. Lord called 8 people out. Me and my wife were 2 of those. So 6 other people left a large church in the city. I say large church, 200-member church. It's the largest church in the whole region to begin a new church. And the pastor, me and him we're very good friends. Our families are very good friends. And our kids grew up together. And we've been praying for about a year that the Lord would give me a ministry partner to start a church with, because I needed a national to do it with. And anyway, the Lord answered unexpectedly. He called him to leave the large church he was a pastor of and to start the new work. So what do you do when you start a new church? Satan does not like new churches started. Anybody that's ever started a new church would be able to attest to that. Satan does not like for God's kingdom to grow and expand. And he'll stand against the new church hard. So the next photograph, what did we do? We started turning to the Lord in prayer, seeking his face on a daily basis, privately, but also corporately. Every Saturday, we agreed to meet together for prayer. and accountability time. We as a new church wanted to be sharing the gospel each week. And our core eight, we agreed with one another that we'd be sharing the gospel each week and that we would have this accountability time. And all of a sudden we went from having very few gospel presentations in a week to, in a matter of a few weeks, all of a sudden having 40 and 50 people a week hearing the gospel. And it was because God had changed our hearts and given us a heart for the nations and for sharing the gospel. Next thing we introduced to them was prayer walking, getting out on the streets and walking the streets and praying. This is early fall. It's not very cold yet. It might be right around freezing, a little bit above. But we're just walking the streets, praying for the people, praying that the Holy Spirit would allow them to hear the gospel and believe. Next photograph, we took them up over a hillside, mountainside, overlooking the city down below. Holy Spirit began to break hearts and bring them to tears, weeping over their city. Next photograph, we have pagan worship, a problem with pagan worship. The two places of worship right here, Patsy's standing in front of one of them. One of them is a Buddhist shrine there that Buddhist believers will come and pray at. The other one with the flag standing there in front, that's shamanism. That's just worship of the gods, spirit beings. These two intermingle sometimes even. Both of them are demonic, and both of them are real. And Buddhism tends to be growing a little bit more in our region than the shamanistic, but both of them are pagan and demonic forces behind them. So pray for that. We have 70,000 Buryats in our region. Buryats are not Russians. They were there before Russians got there. And the next slide is a young lady. She's a Buryat lady. She's a friend of my wife's and mine. Pray for her salvation, that she would come to know Jesus. The next slide, we do national trainings. This is a training seminar that we did the day before we left, 2 days before we left. And then the next slide is inductive Bible studies. When Patsy and I were here in the U.S., Kay Arthur had a ministry where she would teach inductive Bible study methods, and Patsy learned that. And I did a couple of lessons while we were here in the States. But we didn't realize they had an international ministry, and it's been a huge blessing to our ministry. We were able to gather a group. Eight of those people are pastors of the Baptist churches. We were able to gather them, some of their congregations, and formed an institute where they'd come twice a year, study for 2 weeks. And they're learning how to study God's Word and take it back home and not only study it for personal study, but go home and teach it. Teach it to unbelievers. And today has been, each time they went home and started 27 groups after this one, the next time it was 30 some odd groups. And to date, there's been over 100 Bible study groups started from this institute. And each of these groups have got multiple people in it hearing God's Word. And the next slide is one that these are some ladies studying God's Word out in a village, and we have found it to be the most effective tool for seeing people come to the faith in the Lord. And it's simply God's Word, sitting down and opening it and studying and helping them to understand it, and them learning for themselves. Most effective. What we're going to see in just a second on the next slide is my wife. You'll notice her name has been changed. That's for security reasons, because this was up on the web. So it is her and a very good friend of hers, Svetlana, talking about children's ministry and the importance of children's ministry. And then I'll share more about it. Let's watch the slide.
Our family was denied, so our family said, well, we don't need anyone that it would really sense that God's going to send out many missionaries from, especially from our region and from the whole country. Ну, когда спрашивала детей, кто из них хочет миссионерами быть, ну, около 50% хотят быть миссионерами.
We're seeing a difference in the kids' lives, we're seeing a difference in the parents' lives, we're seeing a difference in the preaching and the teaching, all from telling kids about missions.
Что оставаться верным? Это самое главное, что зависит от Христа. И каждому из нас нужно будет отчет дать перед Богом. И я обычно говорю, вот ты когда придешь перед Иисусом Христом, представишь, вот что ты ему объяснишь, почему ты сейчас не хочешь это делать.
As we go to the next slide, one of the kids that was, well, more than one, but one of the kids that was in that video that had a close-up of his face, he was not even saved at that camp. He got saved at the end of that camp. And he's in this photograph here where these kids have also come and committed to this five-year program of studying God's Word. They come twice a year. They pay their own way to get there. Parents pay their way. They come and they study. And it is yielding fruit. We've got kids studying God's Word for 7 hours a day for 2 weeks. And they're loving it because the first time they're understanding God's Word. He's speaking to them. And they're going back home. They're doing Bible studies with their lost schoolmates, their lost parents, lost grandparents. And people are coming to Christ. So praise the Lord for that. The next slide we'll go to is one, this lady on the far right. She is a member of our church, and we encouraged everybody to try to find some way to connect with people on an ongoing basis in order to be able to share the gospel. And she started a fitness group. She started a fitness group, and each week people come to the fitness group, and she shares a passage from God's Word, application, and prayer. Another thing that we do, next slide, is one Patsy had, she invited, they had, all the women of the church had unbelieving people that they had contact with, and they wanted to get them all together, so they invited them to our apartment, and Patsy was doing a cooking class. And they asked her, what do you want me to teach how to cook? And they said, cheesecake. They loved her cheesecake. So anyway, there's ladies out in Siberia now that know how to make cheesecake. Next slide is one, this is an English club. These are all college students from there in the city. All the students from throughout the whole region have to come to our city to study. And they're far away from home. And Patsy teaches, basically we're teaching Bible. And 85% of it's done in English, in Russian, so they can understand it. And sharing the gospel through English. Our next slide is one of me. I like to go outdoors, and if you want to find men, that's where you find them, out on the lake. We're out there ice fishing. The guy on the right, I took him on a multi-day fishing trip further out away from the city, and shared the gospel with him for a number of days. That ice they're standing on is 5 feet thick. It's this thick. You can drive a semi across it. No problem. The next slide is we were doing a Bible study with a family that we met doing a flood relief project, and this family met with us three different occasions. And after the third lesson, they asked us not to come back. They did not want to change their lifestyle. They understood they were sinners. They understood they were guilty before the Lord, but they did not want to change. The next slide I want to talk about for just a second, this is Olya and Alexei. We met these folks doing a flood relief project as well. And Olya said she always wanted to know about Jesus. She grew up in an orphanage, and so did her husband. Didn't have any spiritual teaching whatsoever. Patsy asked her the first week we met with them, "What do you know about Jesus?" She said, "I saw a film once, and all I remember is that he was a baby, and they put him in a feed trough." And that was her understanding of Christ. She didn't know any more than that. So where do you start? We just decided to start in the Gospel of Mark and read one chapter a week and ask a few questions and the Holy Spirit revealing truth to them. About the fifth week, she had heard the gospel, she understood, and she said, "I'm 32 years old, why am I just now hearing this?" See, folks, the good news is only good for those that hear it in time. If someone departs this life and goes into eternity, they lost, it's not good news. God's given us a command to take it to the nations. So please, be about that. Be about it here in Rankin County, but be about it around the world as well. Next slide is one. This is just one outside a building that was flooded. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah. We were able to do a flood relief project through BGR, that's Baptist Global Response, to help 140 homes that were affected by a flood. This is some of the people we were able to share the gospel with. I want to read a couple of passages of scripture to you. I'll tell you what I'm going to read. I'll read it first in English, and I'll read it in Russian, okay? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." There's also another passage in that third chapter that we sometimes don't read, but it's very important to read. In verse 36, it said that he that haveth the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. These are the verses, and I'll read these and quote these in Russian for you. These are the verses we use as we went door to door, these 140 homes sharing the gospel. John 3:16, "Ибо так возлюбил Бог мир, что он отдал Сына Своего единородного, дабы всякий, который верит в Его, не погиб, но имел жизнь вечную." In verse 36, "Верящий в Сына имеет жизнь вечную, а не верящий в Сына не увидит жизнь, но гнев Божий пребывает на нем." You see, it's important when we share the gospel, the good news, that we also share that there is a judgment to come. And someone that is not a believer yet, they are currently under God's wrath. Okay? It's just like they're under God's judgment. They don't realize it yet, but that day's coming. There's a day when people will receive that have rejected Christ, that have not received Christ, will stand before him as judge. And I pray that anyone here today that does not know Christ would come to know Christ. And I pray that if you know Christ, that you would be about sharing Christ, because we're going to stand before the Lord. And Svetlana said right there, each one of us is going to stand before the Lord and give an account. We're going to give an account to the Lord for our lives and what we did with it. I don't know about you, but I would rather hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That should be our goals. The next photographs we're going to share, we'll go through these quickly. This is just us loading up some of the vegetables and going out. Next photograph is a lady who slept on a roof for 4 weeks because it was flooded down below. The next slide is one of two different baptisms we had, one last summer and one this past January. And the Lord promised to build his church, and he is. Praise the Lord. The next slide. That's a young man on the right that was in the video before. He wasn't even saved before. That video was done a few years ago. He's come to faith in the Lord. He's done his military service. And they actually went to missions training school in Moldova. We were able to send them. And these three, and they stayed there for 2 months learning how to start Bible study groups and through sports. So the next slide is one These three repented the last Sunday we were at our church. I actually preached that week. I preached on the lost sheep and how Jesus left the 99 to go and find the one lost sheep. And he found three of his lost sheep that day. And that was his doing. It wasn't because of my preaching, but it was just the Lord working in their lives. And then the next slide is Living Word Church. We started out with eight folks, and this was a baptism a year and a half ago. So he's building his church. And we pray for us, because we want to start another one as soon as we get back. We want to take this church. This church is not started to just grow bigger and bigger. We want to take it and begin another church from it. And the pastor's on board with it, and most of the members are too. And that's what we're about. So just pray, because Satan does not want that to happen. We're going to go into the next slide in just a second. I want to tell you what you're going to see. It's 4 minutes long. This is just a remote evangelism, just going out some remote places in Russia, going door to door, taking some food staples to people, but most importantly, taking the gospel, taking the New Testament's God's word and a Christian witness to them. These people, all of them you see in the photograph, none of them had never had a copy of God's word before in their life. And none of them have ever heard the gospel. So we can start it. I'll dialogue just a little bit so you know what you're seeing. It's just us loading up to head out. It was minus 40 that morning. That's my son Caleb. We're on a frozen river there. The roads are just horrendous. So, you know, you have to go pretty slow because you don't want to break something on your vehicle when you're 6 hours from shelter. We always travel usually in two vehicles so that if you have a mechanical breakdown, everybody doesn't die. That's a hunter just outside a village. We split firewood for the elderly. That lady lives alone. She heard the gospel for the first time. This was a hot spring that we bathed in. We'd been on the road about 5 days at this point in time. It was warm while you were in it, but it was quite cold when you got out. That's just a village out in some of these remote places. We were staying in a hunter's cabin just outside the village. Russians are very hospitable, but we had a team of 10 men. Nobody could handle 10. They just don't have room for 10 in their small home. So we were in a hunting cabin, had to go out and get our own firewood. You purchased that vehicle. That's an IMB vehicle, so thank you. It gets us into some hard, hard, rough places. Most importantly, it gets us out of them, too. That's a Russian kitchen out in the village. Lady sitting at her kitchen table. This man's hearing the gospel for the first time. This man also. If they had a culture hall, we would invite them to a preaching service. Door-to-door evangelism. That man's 82 years old. This is a worker out at one of the work camps. That's our team that went. Preaching service we had. Sharing the gospel with that lady. Roads are pretty dangerous. Don't get in a hurry because, you know, there's some big holes. That's that kitchen again. He's sharing the gospel with them. That's the wood box back there that heats the home and they cook on it. Some of those villages only had electricity for a couple of hours in the evening, and they'd turn on the generator. The rest of the time, they don't have any electricity. One village we were in, you actually went down to the river, the frozen river, and would break up chunks of ice, put them in a wheelbarrow or a sled, pull it back home, and everybody would put them in barrels that were inside their house, and that would thaw, and that was their drinking water. That's a frozen river we're on there. And we have hundreds upon hundreds of these type villages throughout our region. But it has also become more restrictive to do these type of trips. We can go to the real remote places, but if we go to a place that's got a culture hall in it, that means they have an administration. The administrator, they will pick up the phone and they will call. And Russia now has laws against missionary activity. So we do humanitarian type projects. We go to the very, very small villages. And I let my Baptist brothers do the evangelizing for the most part, and I'm there with the humanitarian aid. Just food staples. And because we're on a humanitarian visa, if I try to go in doing some of these large trips in some of these large villages, I'll be in visa violation and kicked out. But we have to work wisely and smartly. That doesn't mean we don't share the gospel. We just have to be wise about how we do it. You know, I want to talk for just a second, because I know I've gone long, but my wife, she's done a couple of camps with kids camps, and she's asked those campers, and it was young girls, school age, middle school age girls, and she asked them, what is the gospel? And she was shocked by the variety of answers she got back. Now, I understand that if I ask y'all, most of you would know what the gospel is, but I just want to clarify. These kids would answer back the gospel, well, it's the Bible. No. The Bible is not the gospel. It contains the gospel. It's in it. Some kids would say, well, Jesus, you know, give the Sunday school answer. Well, the gospel is the good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that God has sent his only begotten Son to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, pay for my sins, pay for your sins, pay for everybody's sins that would believe. And it is through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did, and not only faith in what he did, but faith in his resurrection, that we are forgiven when we return to him in repentance and ask forgiveness, that we are forgiven, and he imparts his righteousness to our account. That's the good news. But you know, just the good news is a gift. It's a free gift, but everyone has to receive that gift. You have to accept it. Just as we go door to door sharing God's word with people, we give them Bibles, they have to receive it. And it's the same way with salvation. People have to receive it. Also, I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you this morning not to just sit here and go, leave the same way you came in. If you know the Lord, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, live out your faith. Live out your faith. Because the world needs to see. He called us to be witnesses. He didn't call us all to be missionaries. He didn't call us all to be pastors. But he did call us all to be witnesses. And we're to be his witnesses wherever we're at, in whatever circumstance we're in. I have been in front of government officials before being questioned. And I will share the gospel every time because they need to hear the gospel. Now, I'm not in fear of my life, but it could determine whether I get to stay in the country or kicked out. But, hey, if we're not there sharing the gospel, there's not a reason for us to be in Russia. Amen. If you're not here sharing the gospel, there's not a reason for you to be here. Okay? I'm just being blunt. I challenge you to be involved in missions. Be involved in ministry. Be involved in being his witness here. going on a mission trip, if you have an opportunity, and I'm giving you an opportunity right now, come to Russia. We have summer camps. Now, I can't take you on some of these evangelism trips like that because it'd get you in trouble, get me in trouble. Okay? But I do have some ministry opportunities that working with nationals, and we're developing nationals and building up nationals because they're going to be there long after we're gone. And we'll have opportunities for summer-type camps, working with kids, working with pastors, working with kids of pastors. So I'm going to be in contact with Jeff about that. So just know that's on the horizon. Okay? But this morning, we want to have an invitation. We want to have an invitation for people to respond to Christ. I'd ask Brother Jeff to come down front. If there's anybody here today that needs to know Christ, needs to repent and trust in Him, he's your pastor. Somebody wants to come down and pray about what they saw today and really just commit your lives to a greater surrender to the Lord. Greater surrender to the Lord. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Come down and pray. Pray for missions. Pray about your walk with the Lord. Okay?